get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody.
Get soft if you
want to
get soft with it.
Howdy, folks. This is, well,
you already fucked it up. You already fucked it up. Keep it.
We haven't done it together in a while. We're doing it together.
You're just ready to just launch right into it as yourself, huh?
I was going to say, you know who this is.
You don't need to. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Joe DeRosa.
That's Kurt Bronnoller. This is Emotional Hangs, the podcast about adult friendship and vulnerability. I hope you're ready to do it with us, and if you are, you can count it off. One, two, three,
let's get soft! We're back together again.
For
one episode, and then in 2 more weeks, I'll be back, but...
And I'll be gone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We just talked about that.
I'll be gone. We're going to have to do... Basically, here's what's going to happen. It's basically going to be letters, the pen pal letters, until January.
It's just the way it's going to happen, but I'm happy that we got to see each other. It's the week of Thanksgiving, so this feels very... I'm thankful for you as a friend.
Thankful for you, too. Happy to see you.
Yeah, great to see you. Great to see your small dog that barks every fucking time I come over, no matter how much it recognizes me and smells me.
He's a real... I don't know.
I love him, though.
I love him, too, but I mean, I just don't get it. Like, he's so... like. He just does not chill the fuck out, man.
He doesn't at all. He's chill now.
What he does. He acts like a psycho, and then he's like, I gotta lay down.
I just protected the house for 5 full minutes. I gotta chill out.
Yeah, he like burns himself out, and then like, you know, but whatever. It is good to see. I feel like we didn't have a great first hello back. We hadn't seen each other in a few weeks, but I was holding
your dog. You had just taken a giant shit.
Yes, I was getting dressed. Telling
me about the shit that you're taking.
Well, I felt bad because we started late because all I ate this morning was fruit, but something in my body was like, get it out.
Your body was like, what is this? This isn't a hamburger. Get it out. Somebody's trying to poison us.
Why doesn't this have cake wrapped around it?
Eject.
Yeah. Something. I think it was the way I mixed it. I make this shake sometimes in the morning.
Old California Joe. Hollywood Joe.
Hollywood Joe.
Fucking smoothies.
Prick Joe. Here's what it is in the smoothie in the morning.
Yeah,
blueberries.
Give it to me. Mm.
Strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
Pineapple.
Yeah.
Banana. Spinach.
Threw me for a loop.
Almond butter. Almond milk. And you blend it all up and you drink it down. It usually does you right first thing in the day. But I didn't feel like making the shake today because I didn't feel like doing the blender and everything.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just mix the ingredients in a bowl with not the spinach part, but the fruit part with the almond butter and just a touch of almond milk, and I'll just eat it like that. And I did, and I was like, yeah, this it's getting it in there. It's what you need out of it.
It's getting in there? You mean your mouth?
In my body.
It's getting in your mouth?
In my asshole. But I don't know. Apparently, it was the wrong... You can't eat it that way.
So this is something you eat every morning.
I drink it some mornings.
Okay.
I tried to do it today because I've not done it the last few days. And I'm just now coming out of a major funk.
Major funk?
Major funk, which was my...
Talk to me.
R&B name in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. I loved your stuff.
Thank you.
That 45 you put out with Soul Star was amazing.
No, I was on the... I mentioned this on one of the Pen Pal ones. I was on the wrong dose of Prozac, and I didn't know.
I don't know if you listened to my letter back to you. You didn't probably yet.
Is that the one where you were outside in the cold?
Oh, yeah, you did. I listened to it. Yeah, okay. So I just say, again, I appreciate that you're on the... The most classic antidepressant.
Yeah, the meat and potatoes.
One.
Yeah. I was off. It was my mistake. I just had just didn't realize I had forgotten to get the second pill that I needed to bring it up to the proper dosage. And I just kept getting...
So it was half? It was literally half the...
It was like two-thirds of what I was supposed to be taking. And then I... So I didn't find out until... But dude, I'm telling you, man, it's been going on for at least 2 months.
Wow.
So for 2 months, I thought I was taking the proper dosage.
And you just felt weird.
I felt like I felt before I went on Prozac.
Oh, wow.
I was like scattered. Everything was overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
All I wanted to do was drink.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I wanted to do. Like I just wanted to drink and get away from everything. Like, yep. I never wanted to... I just wanted to escape. I mean, I'm sorry. Not all I wanted to do is drink. All I wanted to do was escape. And one of the great ways to do that is drinking.
Yeah.
Another way was video games.
You're going to a lot of escape rooms.
A lot of escape rooms. I was listening to the band Escape from the 90s, the R&B group. It was just crazy. But because I thought I was on the right dosage, I didn't ever think my meds are off.
Right.
Because my meds were off one other time. And I didn't know what was going on. I went to my doctor and I was like, look, I feel the way I did before I went on my meds. And he was like, you've probably gotten used to the dosage and you need to up the dosage. But that was recent. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, I feel normal again. This is cool. So I knew it worked. And that was recent enough that when this started happening, I never in a million years thought maybe my meds are off or something. Like, it just wouldn't even occur to me. And, dude, I swear to God, dude, I went to this psychiatrist appointment, and he was like, how you doing? And I was like, terrible. I was like, I don't know if...
Did you go to the psychiatrist on my recommendation for my pen pal letter?
I had to go to get a refill, get my refill, but then I also requested that they set me up with a therapist.
Okay.
And they said, sure, we'll get back to you on this, and then they never called me back.
Okay, great.
That's nice.
That's a good system.
It's a good way to handle mental health.
Yeah, especially if someone's like, I need help, please help
me. Hold on. The TV just fucking turned off.
Uh-oh.
God damn it.
And what does that mean?
I hope it didn't stop recording.
Well, I mean, the TV doesn't record it, does it?
Well, it's all kind of...
Oh, no. You got a real weird system here. While Joe panics about this, the shit that we're looking at is
insane. Oh, no, it didn't stop recording.
No, it's not, because it's not recording on the television.
All right. Well, I just, you know.
Yeah. Just
my what? What are you going to make fun of?
Nothing. It's just like it's really intense. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm looking at 7. Oh, over there, 8, 9, 10. There's a new one reveals itself each time. 10. And is that a game system too? 11.
Yeah.
12. There's 12 game systems that are all plugged into one television.
And that's not counting my handhelds, which I keep upstairs, and my cabinets. That's a cabinet. I got another cabinet coming.
Oh, yeah. You got a little cabinet and then a big cabinet. This is a real video game heaven.
I like it.
Yeah.
So anyway. Another escape. So anyway, I just was trying to escape. And then so I went to the psychiatrist and I said, how you doing? I go, I feel terrible. And he's like, what's... And I go, I don't know if it's the world around me or what. He goes, it's the world around you. It's terrible right now. It's like, all right, maybe that's what it is. And he's like, well, what's going on? And I was like, I don't know. I just don't want to be checked in at all. I want to be checked out. I can't deal with anything. I'm really depressed. Like, I feel like one of the only ways to escape is alcohol. And I know that that's not healthy.
Yeah.
But, and I was like, so I really don't know what to do here. Like, I don't know what's going on. And he's like, all right, well, I want you to mind your drinking, obviously. And I want to see you again in 3 months or two, maybe it was two. If the meds aren't working, then we need to figure something out, whatever. We go through the whole thing. And at the end of the thing, he's like, so your dosage is this many milligrams? And I was like, no, it's 20 milligrams higher than that. And he's like, you've only been taking this dosage. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, you've only been taking... And then I remembered exactly when that had started, and I forgot that I needed this second pill to up the... Because they only come in certain increments.
So you always have to take two pills for your one dose.
Exactly, yeah.
That's weird. They can't just make a pill.
It is weird. So that's what happened. And I go, oh my God, that's why I felt like this. My medicine was off. I didn't know my medicine was off. I couldn't figure this out. Like, and so
how long did it take to recalibrate?
Well, usually it takes me about a week or two.
Uh-huh.
And it was about a week and a half in, and I started to realize, like, oh, whew, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so I still get a little stressed, but it's not going to, like, ruin my day. Like, today, we're going to this barbecue.
Yeah.
And I was like...
We're going to a barbecue as friends, hanging out. We're going to go to a party together, guys.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
But I was just like, this is how I know my meds were working. I was like, I don't care if I drink or not today. I could if I wanted to. Maybe I'll have a couple. Maybe I won't have any. Maybe I'll drive us. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's how I know it's working. If they're not working, I'm like, all right, well, I got to get an Uber because I'm going to fucking do shots and get shit faked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so they're, I don't know if they're in full effect yet, but like I'm sleeping better. And like, it was just like, whew.
That's great, man.
Whew.
Yeah, that's insane. That's insane that, because it was just, so I'm still trying to figure it out. It's just you were used to just taking one pill, and then you start taking two pills, and then you just simply forgot to take the additional pills?
I was taking one, then it stopped working. They upped my dosage, so I had to take two. I was traveling a lot last summer, as you all remember, which is why we were running reruns and everything. During that stretch, I almost ran out of meds.
Oh.
And they can't send them to you on the road.
Right.
Because they're not allowed to call that in out of state.
Yeah.
So I got back. And when I got back, only the one prescription was getting refilled. And I didn't realize it because I was so like scattered from traveling and shit. I was just like, oh, great. My pills are ready. Like, I'm not going to run out. And I just went and got them and just kept taking them and like didn't think about anything.
Right.
So that's what happened.
Yeah, I remember once we were in, my words really escaped me there. Did you see how long I tried to say just to begin that story?
This episode is all about escape.
It's all about escape. But it's going to be a story about how those kind of, the dosages are so important with that. And I don't have, and this is maybe where all the stuttering came from, is that I don't have experience with it directly. But I had a girlfriend who, I can't even remember which one it was that she was on. But it was during a time where she was trying to, like, go off of it. And so, like, we definitely, like, spaced it out over 2 months where she was, like, just taking every 2 weeks, like, 10 milligrams less or something.
Right.
And we missed 1 week. So it was, like, when she went from the dosage to, like, 20 milligrams less. And it was, like, a different person walked in through the door.
Dude, I'm not... I gotta tell you, I don't think I'm ever going off of them.
Yeah, no. Right.
I think it's, like, needing to take... blood thinners or something. Like,
exactly.
I know people that have gone off of them. I have seldomly seen it make an improvement in somebody's life. I've seen people be on the wrong meds, and then that sucks. I've been on the wrong meds, and it's terrible. But I've seen people go change for the better by getting on them and be so much more collected and rational, and then go, I'm good, I'm going to go leave them. And I'm like, you can't say it.
Yeah.
You can't say to somebody, hey, you're fucked up since you stopped taking your crazy pills. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just have to kind of let it go and slowly back away from the person. But I'm not saying that's everybody, obviously. I'm just saying there are people I know that's happened with, and they're unaware of it. And I don't know. I just don't see what the trouble is. Like, keep taking your medicine, man.
Keep taking your medicine, everybody. That should be a shirt. Keep taking your meds.
Keep taking your meds. Let's get soft. Shirts are in, by the way. We
can't wait.
Something with
them. Very excited to wear them. Here, let me tell you a quick story about, though, that relationship.
Oh, yeah.
With that, and it has to do with antidepressants as well. We were teaching in Tasmania. She was Australian. And so she got us this gig teaching, like, theater for 2 weeks in summer school at the University of Tasmania. Yeah. And Tasmania is crazy. It's, like, very wild. You know, there's, like, two or three towns, and then everything else is just, like, wilderness. And so we're out in the middle of nowhere, and we think that she might have gotten pregnant, and we're both panicked.
Oh, boy.
I'm panicked because I'm like, I don't think this relationship is working. and so we go to this, it's the only pharmacy in town. We have to drive like 20 miles to get to it. It's that one person working there. And we come in and we're looking, can't find the pregnancy kits. So we have to ask the woman, where are your pregnancy kits? And she's like, she leads us and picks it out for us, and we buy it. Great. We leave. We take the pregnancy test. She's not pregnant, thank God. She gets her period that night. So then the very next day, we have to, and she doesn't have any tampons with her. So the very next day, we have to drive back into town, and we go to that same place.
Right.
Again, can't find it. Then we have to ask for the woman where the tampons are. We buy the tampon, so it's like, oh, you're not pregnant. That's great. And then the next day, she realizes that her meds are off, and that we have to go back to this place for the third time with the exact same person, the exact same person working this tiny town, just like pick up her antidepressants. So she got like a whole narrative of our life in these like three visits.
Holy shit.
Like, thought you were pregnant, not pregnant. Oh, on it. Now very sad about it. Now on antidepressants.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Did the lady at the drugstore, was she like, cry me?
Yeah, she said, cry me all the time. Cry me is like a British thing.
No, it's Australian, isn't it?
I don't really think
that's Australian.
So.
Do you ever see the movie Wake and Fright?
No.
Woo! That's a rough one.
What's Wake and Fright?
Wake in Fright.
Wake and Fright.
It's a movie with Donald Pleasance. It's about he's not the main character, but there's about a school teacher that's going on a vacation, and he's got to pass through the Australian outback. to get to where he's going.
Mm-hmm.
And he gambles and wins like all this money, and he's like feeling unstoppable. So he goes back again and gambles again, and he loses all of his money. So he can't get out of the town. So he's just stuck there for 2 weeks. And it's about him just descending into like outback madness.
Oh, wow.
With alcohol, and like they go out and they kill kangaroos like for sport.
Wow.
Like just for fun.
Yeah, because they're like deer there.
Yeah, and they have like real footage of like from actual kangaroos like being killed.
That's crazy.
That they splice in. So it actually looks like they're killing kangaroos in the movie, but it's actually documentary footage that they splice in. But they splice
what year
in
is it
very
from?
Well. The 70s. It's okay. From, it's like right before like Mad Max came out. It's part of like the Australian boom
okay.
in cinema. And like, but man, it is fucking, like all they do is drink. All day.
I know. She was Australian, and that all we did was drink all the time.
Yeah, like it's crazy, and they're
crazy.
Like, they're dirty, like they don't shower, like like Donald Pleasance lives
specific to probably that movie.
I'm not saying those people. I'm just saying like, but the, like Donald Pleasance lives in this house that's like, there's like holes in the walls and shit, like.
Oh, yeah, the Outback's crazy wild.
It's
still crazy
insane,
wild.
Dude. It's insane.
Australia is the size physically of the United States with the amount of people that are in the tri-state area.
Really?
Yes. There's like 30 to 40 million people in Australia. And that's how many people there are in like New Jersey and New York and Connecticut.
Jesus Christ.
It's
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, do you have anything to report about?
From Montreal?
Yeah.
It's very cold. I'm so happy to be back in Los Angeles for a few days where it's very pleasant and it's beautiful. Montreal is a great town, but Jesus Christ, it is so cold, and it hasn't even gotten like bad yet. It's like just like in the teens and 20s
right
now. And that's nothing. Like it gets to like negative 20 and then just stays at negative 20 for 3 months. So it's like, it's insane. You know, it's like, I'm just done with being in a different country.
Right.
But it's going to be fine. I go back for 2 weeks and then I'm back.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Nice.
But it's, you know, Lauren and the baby were up there, which was nice to have them there. It was tough because I was working so much, so I couldn't really see them that much. But we had like, Lauren and I had a few, I think 2 days to have some fun.
Good.
Went to a spa on a boat. That was pretty great.
Nice.
And it's just like, it's got its ups and it's ups and highs and lows.
Yeah,
but it's fun working with Steven Spielberg, you know, and Tom Cruise. So, you know, best buds now. So
and Meryl Streep. Didn't you say Jack Nicholson was in it too?
Somebody else. I can't remember. It's a very funny comedy though.
But the movie's funny.
The movie's very funny.
It's
I think it's
going to
be. I honestly think it's going to be a good movie.
What is the? How does it end? What's the end of the movie?
Yeah, just tell me the whole plot right now.
I met some very nice Emotional Hangs fans.
What?
At the Come and Take It Fest.
Oh, yeah. Tell me all about it. We haven't caught up about this. I feel so bad that I couldn't be there. How was it?
It was great. It was a blast. It
good.
Was it was a two-day party. It was a real fun time.
Nice.
I love all those guys, Andrew Youngblood and Gabe Bravo, and that whole crew down there, good
yeah.
people. Dusty Rhodes was uh-huh. very cool. She's nice. Very funny. And that is her real name.
Yep.
Like the wrestler. You know, a lot of cool people down there.
Sounds like there are a lot of cool people there.
There were a lot of cool people down there. So, who else was down there? Jay Larson and Jay and Tom for Ryan, I mean, for the
old fucking
Sickler.
Old fucking Hollywood Jay Larson.
Hollywood Jay Larson.
We've been trying to get Jay Larson and Ryan Sickler from the Crab Feast podcast to come on this show because they are two friends that I think would be fun to interview.
And they're good friends of ours.
And Jay Larson has been a relative fucking lunatic about scheduling. So if you guys listen to that podcast, go give Jay Larson some shit. Just go fucking find him on Twitter and be like, why are you being such a dick not coming on Emotional Hangs? Because he's, quote unquote, so busy.
Sickler has been very amicable.
Ryan Sickler, gem of a human being.
Like,
very funny as
it?
Well.
When do you want to do it? Let's
yeah.
do it.
Funny gem of a man. Jay Larson, fucking Hollywood shoved a bug so far up that man's ass.
Funny man, but
funny
he's
got
to get his scheduling shit together.
Yeah, somebody needs to take a stick and get that Hollywood bug out his ass.
So he was there. Eugene Merman was there.
I love Eugene.
Sklar Brothers. You know, we had a good time. It was fun.
Sounds like you had a good time. A lot of cool people there.
Yeah, met some Emo Hangs fans. They were disappointed you weren't there.
Of course.
But I gave them a hell of a show. No, they were disappointed you weren't there, but, you know, they understood, obviously. And it was nice. And it was very cool when I did the Dumb People Town podcast. When they announced me, they said he's got a podcast of his own on the same network with Kurt Braunholer called Emotional Hangs. Big cheer from the audience.
That's great.
So I felt like there were a lot of people there that knew the show and liked the show.
Yeah.
So that was very flattering, very sweet.
Some softies out there. We actually have some questions from some softies. You ready to get into it, Joe?
I guess so. You're just done with that story, huh?
Yeah, what else was there? You had a great show and people know the show? People know the podcast? Is that... Was there a fucking twist I wasn't expecting?
Oh, God. All right.
I thought it was a nice segue, but you want to slow it down? Yeah, let's bring this car down to
how
25 to go around.
Your dumb mustache?
Wasn't that mustache dumb?
No, I liked it.
I loved it. I thought it was very funny. I mean, it looked creepy and weird, I thought, but...
I didn't think it looked creepy. I thought it actually suited you pretty well.
I was...
I'm serious. I'm being serious. I thought it looked good.
I think it looked creepy. I mean, if you guys can vote on this, like, I've got some photos on my Instagram of me with a mustache, and I'm not sure... If go tell me if you think it's creepy or not, because I can always grow it back. But I had to shave it because I played a newscaster in the movie, so it was like a Fox and Friends kind of guy.
Oh, I have hot sauce for you, by the way.
You have hot sauce for
Gabe
me?
Gabe Bravo sent me a big box of hot sauce for us.
Oh, big box of hot sauce
to split.
Yeah,
he did address it to Joe Big Dick DeRosa.
Oh, that's nice
he
of him.
He said that the post office almost didn't let him send it. But I can't eat it. It's too fucking hot. You can have all of it.
All right, great.
It's good though. It's good stuff. It's you know, they're a leading brand of hot sauce, I believe.
All right, great.
Let me just give the name
love
you know,
it.
Quick plug. They're not our sponsors, but Bravado Spice Company.
Is it Gabe's company?
I don't think it's no.
Just his last name is Bravo, and it's
wait
called
a minute.
Bravado.
I don't know. I never right. asked.
There we go.
I just know
he's just
knows.
Giving out hot sauce that sounds kind of like his
I
name.
Thought he said it was his friend's company.
All right.
Maybe he's involved. I don't know.
Great.
Well, what am I, the fucking hot sauce mayor?
I don't know. You just brought it up, so I figured you know maybe knew something about
what
you're talking about.
There's all kinds of flavors over there you can take home and and cook into a thing.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Anyway, yeah, let's get into some Q&A.
There, now we're ready. All right. This first one, I'm not going to say your name because this seems pretty personal. So one of my best friends from high school is a dude. This is first off from a long time ago. Oh, 10, 12, not too long ago. One of my best friends from high school is a dude. We haven't seen each other in years, but he's coming to visit next week. We have a really close but 100% platonic relationship in school. After school, I have rarely had that kind of relationship with a guy, and that's a real bummer. Thing is, this guy got really, really hot, and he's almost certainly good in bed, was not hot until later in life, late bloomer, etc. There is absolutely no chance of a longer-term romantic relationship with this guy, but is it wrong to ruin my last platonic male friendship by making it less platonic? I'd love to hear your guys' perspective on friends with benefits in general, or if you could find guests that have that kind of relationship, that would be super interesting to me anyway, right now. So I guess this lady is worried about ruining a friendship because she wants to bone.
I would say to not do it.
You would say to not do it.
Well, yeah, because here's the thing. We can all pretend this friends with benefits shit works. It doesn't work. Somebody, unless you're like... I always reference Nina Hartley, the porn star.
Uh-huh.
It works for her. She and her husband have a very open marriage.
Yeah.
And she still does, I think she still does porn.
Okay.
She's been doing it her whole life. I think she's almost 60 at this point.
All right.
But they have a very open marriage, and they're very clearly in love with one another. And it's like, look, once in a while, you find the two rare birds that are able to really accept everything that that lifestyle entails. But usually there's jealousy.
Now, here's the question, though, for you. So I think what she's talking about is more of a friends with benefits thing as opposed to an open relationship, which is they're just coming at it from two different angles.
Friends with benefits always turns into some form of an open relationship.
Does it always?
You never saw the Seinfeld where Jerry and Elaine try to do friends with benefits and like... They set up like all the rules. It's like it's such a great commentary on it.
But here's the deal. If I think this is for her, I think the big question for her is, are you willing to no longer have him as a friend? If you are, then that's fine.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
But I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, that's the risk you run. But I think they could pull it off. If they don't live in the same city, they can be friends.
Oh, wait, they don't live in the same city? I didn't hear that part.
No, they don't live in the same city. So he's coming to visit
her. Oh, yeah. Then just raw dog him.
Raw dog him. Right? Because then they're late at night. They're drunk. She can just kind of, like, kiss him.
If you don't live in the same city, go out. I'm sorry, I missed a key detail.
Oh, yeah. No, they don't live in the same city.
But I will say this, too. I think she's coming at it a little bit from the wrong angle.
Uh-huh.
It's always bad when it's the Well, she is good friends with him. It throws me a little bit that she says he got super hot and now I want to do this.
Right.
That to me is almost like when you meet a famous person or something and you think, if I could only date them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you start to talk to them and then you realize like, oh, they're just a person.
They're just
like,
an empty vessel.
Yeah, this whole facade will go away.
Yeah.
My fear for her is she's being a little swayed right now by how good looking the guy has become. And it's one of those like, ooh, well, hello you. I never noticed you before.
Uh-huh.
Come on up and see me sometime, you know? And then she's going to bang him. And then she's going to be like, oh, like that's like what your neck smells like in the morning? Gross.
So you just think any type of intimacy is going to ruin a friendship.
No, I'm just saying you run a risk when you're not saying... It doesn't sound to me like she's saying, oh, this person completes me.
No, she's not. So there's no chance of a romantic relationship. This is going to be a fuck.
I know. So I think what she's running the risk of is being grossed out by... What if he's a bad fuck? You're going to be grossed out by your friend for the rest of your life.
Then she can just not fuck him for the rest of her life.
You know what I mean? What if he...
I want her to go for it. I want her to go for it, Joe.
What if they're making out and he goes, hold on. And he comes in his pants from just kissing. I'm sorry.
Well, then she's going to know, oh, this was a bad idea. I shouldn't do this.
Is that worth losing a friendship? I don't think so.
But here's the deal. If they don't live in the same city, I feel like all you need is some time. Then the next time you see each other, they just hang out. And then when it like gets brought up, it's like, oh, let's not do that anymore. And it's like, oh, okay, we don't do that anymore. It's not like like feelings are getting so involved here. I don't think
I've been down this road, dude. Yeah? I've been down the let's not do this anymore road. It doesn't work. You right. always end up hooking up again.
No, it's almost like if you're like, we can't do this anymore, that's a saying, let's do it one more time.
Let's do it every time
we see each other.
But we have to say we can't do it anymore every right. time. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Look, I think there's enough distance, it doesn't matter. And I also think, too, if you're in separate cities, look, obviously you can be close with somebody that lives in another city, but I wouldn't say this is one of your pillars on the day-to-day sense, you know, yeah. thing. So, you know, look, if he's expendable, he's expendable. But you're calling him one of your last platonic male relationships. I mean, that is a valuable thing. There is value to that. There is value to platonic relationships.
Just say platonic once. Just say platonic.
What did I say?
You always say plutonic.
Because I think of Pluto, the dog.
I know. I know you do. And it makes me think it's something else you're talking about.
Like it fucking a dog?
Yeah.
Listen, whatever you do, miss, don't fuck any dogs. That you definitely shouldn't do. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I agree that having platonic relationships with people of the opposite gender or other gender is good for your perspective on things, you know?
You absolutely need that, you know? Now, look, I'm not the greatest guy to talk to about this shit stuff. I've shit where I eat a million times,
yeah.
you know? Like, I've never had much regard for, like... You know, you shouldn't date a person that you live next door to or whatever. Like, I've never given a shit about
it. No,
you
really haven't. I'm surprised that you're coming down, like, pretty conservatively on this one.
Well, because I've learned a bit from my mistakes over the years. And there is... I mean, that's a harsh way to put it. I'm not saying mistakes.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like... There's an exciting thing about forbidden fruit. I get very turned on by forbidden fruit.
Right.
And by that I mean minors. No, I'm kidding. No, but I mean I love the idea of forbidden fruit. So this scenario she's presenting is this is everything I love. Like, oh, we're friends. We probably shouldn't, but oh my God, look how she turned out and yeah. all that, you know, like it's like this is everything I love. You only live once, man. You got to do it.
Yeah.
And then you end up, you know.
With one less friend and you slowly become lonely and isolated and alone.
I will.
In your apartment filled with video game consoles.
Calling the arcade superstore saying, when is my Star Wars cabinet arriving? Every day calling and asking that. But I'll say this, too. I've managed to remain friends with anybody I've ever, for the most part, anybody yeah. I've ever done this with.
And here's the question. Do you have any platonic female relationships that you have never had sex with?
Oh, yeah, of course.
You do.
But I've also got a ton that I've been intimate in some way with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm friends with most women I've ever dated.
That's nice.
Well, that's not true. That's a gross exaggeration. I've had a lot of flings in my life and, you know, random things or whatever. But, like, as far as, like, women that I've actually spent time with, I stay friends with pretty much all of them.
That's great.
You know, like, and some girlfriends haven't understood that. You know, they don't like that. But I don't know. This is a tough one, man. I'm trying.
I feel like we're divided. We're divided right down the middle. I say go for it. Joe says don't.
The only thing that's stopping me is yeah. she's saying my last platonic male friend, which to me says, and I'm not speaking for you, miss, I could be wrong, but the way I interpret that is I've already hooked up with and ruined all my other male friend relationships. This is the last one I have left.
Right.
I don't know if you should burn it then.
I don't know. I feel like that's you projecting your stuff onto
her.
I'm
telling you, everything about this letter, I feel like I wrote it. I'm not shaming her for that. I'm just saying, she's like, should I ruin the last one? Like, the way she phrased it, it sounds like yeah. she's really like saying, like, I've done this before, and I know how this goes. Maybe I shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would proceed with caution or... just be like, I'm going to get laid, and he's going to go back to his other city, and who gives a shit?
Do it, you little cartoon woman. She has a cartoon as a profile pic. All right, next question. You ready for it? Question for you in emotional hangs. I think this is going to be a pretty easy one to answer. Wondering your thoughts on antidepressants. Do you think they're a cop-out and people should find healthier coping mechanisms in order to mature? Or do you think people have legitimate chemical imbalances in their brain chemistry that antidepressants fix? Love your show. Look forward to it every Wednesday. Also, tell Joe to stop talking about him so much. Like, man, 30 minutes of the last episode were just him chatting about himself nonstop. You're my favorite. Joe's still great. Thanks. Bye.
30 minutes. What do you mean, Chad? We had to talk about ourselves. That was the point.
This is months ago. This was months ago.
Oh, okay. I feel like I talked about myself a lot today. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I don't like that I do that. I know.
Got to answer the question, Joe.
I know, but I'm addressing my fault by talking about myself. The question, yeah, no, yeah, I feel very positive about antidepressants. I also think there's some. Look, I feel very positively about most drugs. I mean, we've discussed it on here before. The big four that I say you should never go near: crystal meth, heroin, crack. That's three. Crystal meth, heroin, crack.
Here's a great question.
What was the Breaking Bad drug? Meth?
Meth.
So that's the big three.
Yeah.
There might be one more. I can't remember. But anyway, my point is...
PCP.
PCP I'd dodge. I think all drugs, when used respectfully...
I think I've done all of them.
And appropriately...
Mm-hmm.
Can be very beneficial in different ways. I think people can benefit from taking heavy psychedelics and things of that nature. When they're not respected and abused, they will turn on you. And that goes for any drug. That goes for Tylenol. So it's like, here's the thing. You have to understand what a mental drug does. You have to understand what your problem is. You have to be aware of the different types of drugs and the side effects you might have. And you need to be extremely patient. We live in a not patient society. Everything is now. You know, everything can be delivered to your doorstep now. You know, there's a fucking app where you can get a haircut in your house now on demand. I mean, it's ridiculous. So you have to be patient. I mean, these drugs do not work in the rhythm of our modern day culture. And you just got to kind of feel it out. And it takes time. But if you find the right one, they can be very helpful. The common misconception about these drugs is, A, they will ruin you. And if you're on the right one, they won't. And B, that they flip a perfection switch and all of a sudden you're never worried ever again. And that's not true either. It just removes the clutter so you can think rationally. And you can worry, but your worry is not going to be crippling.
Yeah.
You know, your
stress doesn't overwhelm you.
Right.
It doesn't feel like it is insurmountable. It feels like it's accomplishable.
Right.
Yeah. So, and yes, 100, I would say 100%. There are brain chemical deficiencies that that a drug can help, and you shouldn't just dismiss it outright.
I'm shocked at how reluctant people are to trust these drugs still.
I thought we were past that.
No, tons of people. I still have friends from back home who are immensely successful, who have a lot of money and great jobs and beautiful families and big homes and all these things, and you say, dude, why don't you just go on this thing so you can get the rest of this bullshit out of your head? And they're very hesitant. I mean, the brain is the most important organ in your body, next to your heart, for Christ's sakes. Uh-huh. And it's like, people are like, nah, it can work itself out. It's like, you wouldn't do that with any other organ. Now, again, we live in an impatient culture. And we also live in a culture where the bad apples spoil the bunch all the time with everything. And people abuse things and exploit them. And a lot of people do that. So people look at the bad side of it and go, well, that's bad. Because they only, you know, it's like a tort lawsuit in court. It's like there are people that abuse something like that and try to get money for nothing, like the sort of ambulance chasers or whatever. And then there are people that law is in place for, and you need to utilize it to get what's rightfully yours. So it's like this with anything, any cause, any product, any drug, anyway, people are going to abuse it and take advantage of it. So you can't focus on those people. You need to talk to a doctor. Don't get your advice just from this podcast either.
No, see, this is where we come down on different sides of this. I say only get your advice from this podcast. Go out, get yourself some Prozac, and just start trying it.
Yeah.
Just and vary the dosage.
Yeah.
20, 40, 60 milligrams. Just every day.
Buy
see
it
how
on
it
the
feels.
Street. Get it from a guy on the street.
You can go. There's go dark web and fucking dark web up some Prozies. And slap them down. Yeah. Slap them down your little hole.
There you go.
All right. That's Dr. Kurt's advice for you.
You also, this also might be a person that needs Adderall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There are so many different ones.
Yeah.
But again, people hear Adderall and they think, oh, that's bad because people abuse it and take it to party and stuff. And it's like, well, people do that. But that's not what it's meant for. And Adderall actually helps a lot of people who are very scatterbrained. If you have true ADHD, Adderall can really help you. But you gotta go through you need to go have an intense session with a psychiatrist. You need to get all of your symptoms out, mental symptoms out on the table. Talk about your life. Talk about how you're feeling.
And if that sounds too difficult, again, just go for it. Just take this podcast advice and go for it. Just try
wing it.
Anything. Wing it.
Yeah. Do we have a third one?
Nope. We don't have a third one, pal.
All right. Well, that's the end, I guess.
That is the end. Hey. Great being back.
It's great seeing you, man.
Great seeing you, too.
Can't wait to go stand out in the scorching sun with you.
Can't wait. I'm so excited that it's scorchingly hot.
As soon as we just as came to the end of this, I was like, oh, we can go have beers. And I was like, I just was saying that I didn't feel like that was that important.
When you were saying that, I was like, but he's totally going to have some drinks.
Yeah, of course
I'll drive. I'll drive you, and then you can take an Uber.
No, I don't want you to drive.
I mean, I have to drive. I'm bringing my child.
Well, make Lauren drive. This is our reunion today.
I'll just let my wife know that it's Joe and I's reunion day. And that I have to be drunk by 5.
Well, I'll at least ride over with you.
Sounds great.
I'm not going to Uber over if
you're driving. I'm happy that we included this part in the podcast so everybody knew.
Look, I miss you, buddy. I'm glad you'll be home soon.
You got any gigs coming up you want to squirt the people about?
I don't really. I'm opening for my dear friend Bill Burr in December on a couple different dates. Florida and Albuquerque, New Mexico, and in Phoenix, Arizona, I think. So if you're going to those shows already, I look forward to seeing you there. And other than that, please read the Penthouse column. You Let Me Down every month. And the other podcast is We'll See You in Hell. Check that out on HeadGum.
I'm going to be at the Portland Helium Comedy Club February 8th to the 11th. The Vermont Comedy Club, March 8th to the 11th, and Laugh Boston, March 29th to the 31st. So I'll see you guys out there.
All right.